so if you need to just listen, that's fine. Read this blessed King James Bible. I know some of you heard me deal with some of this, much of this, but it's what the Lord has for our church tonight on this Wednesday night service, and I hope it's a help to this body, to this people. In Hebrews 10 and verse 6, sorry, verse 5 actually, wherefore when he cometh into the world, Jesus Christ, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. It's quoting the Psalms here. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. The volume of this book, it is written of Jesus Christ. In Psalm chapter 40, I'm not going to wait. Please don't be offended. I only have a couple things marked, but I'm just going to move quickly. If you need to rest, that's fine. If you need to look, that's fine. But Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. What is he going to see? Well, the humble shall see it. He that is brought up out of a horrible pit. That's what they'll see. Zechariah in chapter 9. In verse 11, he says, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. What a horrible pit. What a terrible place. The pit where there's no water. There's no relief. Luke 16 tells us of that place. Word of God tells that hell is in the wall of the pit. In Luke 16, this is not a parable. This is certain men, certain rich man. There's a certain beggar. The beggar died. Verse 22, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Notice that, into Abraham's bosom. Where's Abraham's bosom? Well, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send into my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. What prophets? He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. What prophets? He brought me out of a horrible pit wherein there is no water. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But they will not hear Moses and the prophets. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. The reality is, one did come back from the dead, and men still would not repent. Jesus Christ resurrected, men still will not turn. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. My objective tonight, with the Lord's help, is that you will see Moses and the prophets revealing one that did rise from the dead. Brother Wes, would you pray?
Father, as we went to the Word of God now, I just pray, Lord, that you be with the preacher. Just pray, give him spiritual power, give him physical strength, give him unction, Lord, to preach the Word of God here tonight. Just pray to be with his mind and speech, Lord. Just direct it the way you would have it be directed. Pray for each one here, Lord, that you would meet our needs. Father, we are needy people. There's many needs here tonight. I have several needs, Lord. I pray to meet the needs of my heart tonight. Get it right, Lord. You wouldn't be hindered for what it is tonight. Just pray for the needs of those outside of Christ here tonight, Lord, that you would speak to their heart. Let them hear Moses and the prophets, Lord, about Jesus Christ. I pray that you would be honored, you would be glorified. I pray you'd have free will to do your work here tonight, Lord, would be my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Psalm 68. We use several psalms, as we almost always do. So if you want to keep a mark in the psalms, it might be beneficial. Psalm 68, verse 6. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in dry land. What's a dry land? It's a place with no water. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved to the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. The Lord sent plentiful water. He sent plentiful rain. Amos, I believe it's 9:6, says the Lord calleth his rain. Or he calleth from the sea. He calls the rain upon those mountains. He brings that rain through the water course of Job 38 to put water upon the land. He distills every drop of rain abundantly upon the face of the earth. He gives water to them that are thirsty. For he said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. God will give to you if you're thirsty. God will water them that are thirsty. Job 3. And verse 17. He said, there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. So he tells you of a place. He tells you a place where the servant is freed from his master. He says he's a prisoner there, or prisoners there. To be in prison is not necessarily bars, but it is confinement. The inability to do for yourself, the inability to leave. They are bound. That's what a prisoner is. In Psalm 68 again, and we're going to turn often, so bear with me. In verse 18, he prophesies here, and of course this is a psalm of David. And in verse 18, it says, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell," and notice this, "among them." David's prophesying of one which is to come. That the Lord God might dwell among them. The fulfillment of this is in Ephesians chapter 4. Keep your place there in Psalms. For Ephesians chapter 4. And again, prophecy fulfilled. Always a joy to see. Always pleasurable to find. In verse 7 of Ephesians 4, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." But what took place before he ascended? Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first? And I want you to notice this, into the lowest parts of the earth. I'll make a case for this. Some of you Bible scholars will probably choke a little bit, but we'll make a case for it. In one's a dry land, there's no water. It's where the rich man was. Send Lazarus, he may put his finger in water, just one drop of water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The other's a place where there's miry clay. They're both in the pit. They're both in the lowest parts of the earth. That's plurality. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Psalm 68, verse 18. "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." And then look at verse 19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Selah. We know the God of our salvation is none other than Jesus Christ. We know it's he that loadeth us with benefits. We know it's he that descended first into the lowest parts of the earth. Then he took captivity captive. He ascended with them, took them with him, brought them far, he said, above the heavens. So those are just a couple of proven facts from Scripture. Something a lot of folks say, may not have heard something like that. It's not commonly reported, but it's commonly believed by the saints of God. Look at Psalm 69 and verse 20. "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, and there was none, but for comforters, but I found none." Now, a lot of folks say, well, this is a psalm of David. David's in a hard place. David's in a difficult place to be. But the next verse tells us, absolutely, is prophesied of Jesus Christ, because it's fulfilled on the cross when they offered him this. "They gave me also gall for my meat, and my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And then he says, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Verse 28, he speaks of the wicked. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. But then again, he says this, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. How high? Far above the heavens. That's how high. The resurrection of Christ. And I realize that on Easter, we celebrate the bodily resurrection of Christ. But you know, a couple of days earlier than that, it'd probably be good to celebrate the resurrection of Christ also. Because what we're going to look at tonight is not necessarily his bodily resurrection. But as we've offered already this week, the faith of Jesus Christ that justifies us is the resurrection of his soul. By faith. In verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. And here's what we've run into yet again, one more time. The humble shall see this and be glad. And your heart shall live that seek God. Amen. Not an experience, not an event, but to seek God. Where do you seek God? You seek him in the volume of this book.
That's right.
When you find him, there's no greater joy than to know him. I'm going to accelerate here just a little bit, but before I do, I want to say this. Across the years, I've had numerous people say to me, I was never told to look for Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, but you were. Right. The volume of the book, it is written right. Of
right.
Me.
Right.
You were told.
That's right, sir.
Those prophets, speaking by the Spirit of Christ concerning the things that he should suffer. Not only that, but also he said, and the glory that should follow. What's the glory that should follow? The resurrection. I bet, folks, I was never told to seek God in the Psalms, but you were. Jesus Christ opened their understanding, and then he expounded unto them all the things in Moses' law and the prophets. And in the Psalms, the things concerning Jesus Christ. There's no gray area. You see it or you don't. And he said, the humble shall see this. So, I'll put myself to the test. In verse 33, for the Lord heareth the poor. Who's the poor? Well, no doubt Lazarus was poor, the poor in spirit. And then it says this, and despiseth not his prisoners. There are prisoners that belong to him. Can I say to you, prisoners are in captivity. They cannot get out. Something is preventing them. And that's why Jesus Christ went into the lowest prison. Parts of the earth. Psalm chapter 10. In verse 2 of Psalm 10, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. How do they persecute the poor? Letting them eat the crumbs that come off their table. Oppressing the poor. Despising the poor. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth any the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked. Now, I know there's not a person in this room saying, I'm a wicked person. No, I'm a pretty good person. We're all pretty good people, right? But the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek God. And if you will not seek God, just understand what the Bible says. You are wicked. Now, if you came to see a reed shaken by the wind, you came the wrong night. If you will not seek God, it's the pride of your countenance. And he said, that's what the wicked do. I'm a good person. I don't need God. Look how clean I live. I don't need God. He will not seek God. God is not in all his thoughts. Would you do me a favor tonight? Would you pray one more time in your heart, Lord, let me see your son. Let me see Jesus Christ in Scripture. And we'll turn to Psalm 79. In verse 10 of Psalm 79, wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed. Let the sign of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. And render unto our neighbor sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. Let the sign of the prisoner come before thee. Those in bonds, those prevented, those in prison. Psalm 102. We see the Lord has prisoners. We see their sighing comes before him. We see there's a place where the prisoner is. Psalm 102 and verse 2. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. Verse 18. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. So when he looked down and beheld the earth, what did he hear? The groaning of the prisoner. Why did he look down? To loose those that were appointed to death. Psalm 146. Verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, amen, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, there's the poor, the Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, that's those that will not seek God by the pride of their countenance, he turneth upside down. Some of you that didn't have to rush off I know there's folks staying locally here. It's easier. Some of you work early. We lingered last night and heard a testimony of a young man that stood. He made the statement, God utterly destroyed me. Took away everything that I loved. Those that knew him watched as God destroyed him. I remember personally preaching the Black Creek Baptist Church. Friday night closing that October meeting probably 5 years ago. And saying, whatever it takes, Lord, would you do it? And I remember people began to pray, Lord, whatever it takes to break through. Whatever it takes to open their eyes. Amen. Whatever it takes.
Amen.
Seen car accidents, death, physical maladies, sickness, arrests, criminal charges. That's God's mercy.
Amen.
It's the mercy of God.
Thank God.
God can reduce you to where you'll look up. God can reduce you where you'll say, I need him.
Yes, he can.
And there's a lot of folks praying. I can't pray out loud the way I need to pray, lest I horribly offend some people by how I pray.
Lord.
Folks say, pray for so-and-so, their eyeball fell out. And I say, dear God, would you save them? I got a request today, very severe, very serious request. I just began to weep. So my wife read it to me. And I said, dear God, would you have mercy? Far more than the physical malady is the severity of this matter of the soul. And we've prayed, Lord, whatever it takes.
Right.
And some still can't see it. There'll be folks dying in the hospital, and they won't see it. God is going to loose these prisoners. God is going to do with them as he sees fit. Again, in verse 7, the Lord looseth the prisoners. Let's now go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. Restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee a light to the Gentiles.
Hallelujah.
That thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. We're in Isaiah 49, getting ready to read verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, bless his holy name. In the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant to the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. And he tells you where they are. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. Notice this. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them even by the springs of water, shall he guide them.
Amen.
He tells the prisoner, go forth. There's pastures in their way. Grass, nourishment. And then he leads them by the springs of cool water. He gives them refreshment for their soul. Habakkuk chapter 3. And I'm going to ramble while you look there, because I need to look at something else real quick that just crossed my mind, and I need to act like I know what I'm doing. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse 18. Yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll rejoice in the God of my salvation. Who's the God of our salvation? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. That's who we rejoice in. Just to stop for a moment. He has a prisoner. He has prisoners. He's going to come to deliver them. He's going to come to bring them out. When he brings out a prisoner, they're no longer in bonds.
Amen.
They're free.
Amen.
They can leave. We understand there's pasture there, there's water there. But they're his prisoners. He's the one keeping them in bonds. He's the one that's holding them. It's what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Now let's look for him. Psalm 95, if you would. Verse 8. You say, all these people are talking about looking for Jesus Christ. Well, it could be that they found him. Because they did look for him. He said, you'll find me if you search for me with all of your heart. I didn't find religion. I found him. I didn't find a different life. I found a life in Christ. And I found it in the Word of God. He told them in Psalm 95, the same thing he reiterates in Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 4. But he said in verse 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Look at verse 11. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Now remember what Job said there, the wicked shall cease from troubling. And there the weary shall be at rest. Paul told us in the book of Hebrews, there is a place of rest for the child of God. God will give you rest.
Praise God.
How does he give you rest? Psalm 16. In verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. This also my flesh shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And notice verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. What is that path? It's a path with pastures. It's the path of life. The life is in Jesus Christ. Peter told us this is Jesus Christ. It's not David. David is both dead and buried. His sepulcher is with us unto this day. But David said he saw the Lord. He saw the offering of the soul of Jesus Christ. And yet men today can't see that. But God revealed it to David. And I'm not being cocky. God's revealed it to me.
Amen.
By the word of God.
Amen.
And I believe, therefore have I spoken.
Amen.
So we established two facts there. It is a path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And we'll get to that in a moment. Psalm 18. The sorrows of death, verse 4, compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. What does that mean? Death prevented him. The snares of death had a hold of him. He could not get out of death. The sorrows of hell have compassed him about. The snares of death have been set upon him. Jesus Christ is both dead. His body is buried. His spirit's with the Father. And his soul is offered in the depths of hell. Thus we see the first part of the earth. He descended into the lowest parts of the earth. Isaiah told us, as we read the other night, his soul was made an offering for sin. But there he's prevented. He's died the second death. He cannot get out. You say, well, isn't he God? He's been made sin for us. Therefore, Jesus Christ, condemned to die because of our sin, the snares of death have prevented him. He cannot get out. But he cried. And when he cried, the Lord heard him. The Word of God says this: in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. In verse 23, I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. We spoke the other day, who could that be? It has to be Jesus Christ. Amen. It can be no other. Let's back up to verse 18. His strong enemies, that strong man, has bound him. And it says, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Jesus Christ was made sin, who knew no sin. His hands were still clean. He was still righteous. Yet he was judged and condemned to die as a sinner. And he's nailed to the cross, bearing our iniquities, our sickness, our diseases, our sin. Wounded for our transgressions, his nails through his hands, through his feet, that spear in his side. Just pause a second. Lester Roloff made a great statement. He said, when the Lord hides us in the cleft of the rock, he said, that cleft is in the side of the rock.
That's good.
I almost had to pull over. Amen. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon him, with the stripes we are healed. But then he said this, all we like sheep are gone astray. Return everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We've all got our own way, but not Jesus Christ. The Lord heard him. The Lord rewarded him. The Lord delivered him. And what did he say? He brought me forth into a large place. What's in that large place? Let's go back in the New Testament, the book of Luke, just for a moment. Verse 39 of Luke chapter 23. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou to the same condemnation? And indeed justly. For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It was about the sixth hour. There was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, I've given you every scripture I know personally of what takes place next. I just want to run through it real quick. He said, This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. The rich man is in hell. He beholds Lazarus afar off in the bosom of Abraham. But he can't come to this. Where God says, a great gulf fixed. I didn't read the verse, but Psalm 18 said, He drew me out of many waters. Lazarus can't go to the rich man. The rich man cannot go to Lazarus because of that great gulf. Jesus Christ bows his head. He gives up the ghost. It is finished. And then the fundamentalist says, that's it. Nothing else needed to be done. But his soul had to be offered for sin. He had to die the second death. And there the offering of the soul of Jesus Christ was made in the very flames of hell. He was that burnt offering. He was offered for our sins. His soul is condemned. His soul is dead. His soul was with the transgressors. He's numbered with the transgressors. Word of God tells us that. Sorrows of death have compassed him. The sorrows of hell have compassed him about. The snares of death prevented me. But he cries. What did he tell the thief on the cross? This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Those of you who were not here earlier in the week, we spoke of the Son of Man as a worm. He said in Psalm 22, I am a worm and no man. Then Jesus Christ spake in the Gospels. He said, There the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Who's that worm? That worm is Jesus Christ. But he doesn't die in hell. For no man dies in hell. It's the second death. But this weeping, this wailing, this gnashing of teeth, this torment forever. In the awfulness of a place called hell. We read yesterday, Monday, I believe it was, about how his feet were falling. He's condemned. He's condemned to die. He's numbered with transgressors. But he told the thief on the cross, This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he cried unto the Father. The Lord heard him, shook the earth, came down, bound the strong man. Jesus Christ was drawn out of hell, crossed a great gulf, Why was he delivered? Because of his righteousness.
Right.
What did God recompense him? By the cleanness of his hands. Where did he put him? He put him in a place where the prisoner was. They could not get out. They could not escape. Now he's in the lowest parts of the earth. He's crossed that great gulf. He's in Abraham's bosom, but this is a marvel. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. All of a sudden, no longer, it's no longer Abraham's bosom. It's now paradise. Why? Same reason the Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven. What did he call it? Paradise. Why did he call it paradise? Because Jesus Christ was there. Why is it called paradise? Because Jesus Christ is there. He's been drawn out of many waters. And I said the other night, and preaching this, and I know some of you were there, but listen, I don't make light of this, because there's great joy in it. We understand that thief on the cross goes down to Abraham's bosom, and he's awaiting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's awaiting him to cross that great gulf. He had a promise from Jesus Christ, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And they look across that great gulf, and they see the tumult, and they see the wonderment, and they see the Son of God come out of the flames of hell. And don't get all too of it. I came with him.
Hallelujah.
If you're saved, you came with him.
Hallelujah.
Our friend Brother Morey back here made a statement the other day. He said, Jesus Christ didn't take your cross because you weren't bound for a cross.
Right.
But he did take your hell because you were bound for hell.
Right.
And he brought us out with him across that great gulf that's fixed and into Abraham's bosom. And there all of Abraham's bosom became paradise in the presence of Jesus Christ. Why? He's there with the prisoner. He's with his own. And they rejoice. And they sing. Why? Jesus Christ has come to deliver them. But they believe God. They know they're not staying there.
Amen.
Why? Because he came to take captivity captive. Give gifts unto the sons of men. Who are those sons of men? Psalm 16 told us, to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. What does he tell them at the end of the psalm? Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Who's he saying that to? To the saints that are in the earth. We're not going to be here long, fellas. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so also shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. God resurrected him. God brought him out. Now, he's in paradise. They're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, the Psalm of David. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Where are green pastures? They're in the way of the Lord. The prisoner had green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What did Isaiah say they had? They had springs of cool water. It's refreshing for a weary soul. Then it said this, he restoreth my soul. Whose soul did he restore? The soul of Jesus Christ. He's no longer sin. That sin's been offered. Those sins are gone. Those sins are forever departed.
Amen.
Who? Your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. For he is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So God restores his soul in verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and oh, did he walk there, I will fear no evil, For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, don't get out of sorts. I know people already think I'm crazy, but just bear with me on this. Lazarus had nothing good. The rich man in his lifetime had good things. But then a table was prepared in the presence of his enemies. And that rich man looked across that great gulf and saw Lazarus sitting at a feast. And he had water. And he had rest. And he had comfort. And the rich man had none. And all the bitterness, all the awfulness of having missed the most important thing of all, seeing Jesus Christ. But don't forget this. The wicked in the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Jesus Christ prepared a table before them in the presence of his enemies. That rich man looked on. All the good of this world meant nothing to him. He fared sumptuously every day, had everything he ever needed. Clothed in purple every day, it meant nothing to him. And the awfulness and the torment of hell, he looks across and he sees that poor beggar, that poor man that he persecuted, that poor man that he oppressed, that poor man that he'd throw the crumbs from his table out the door to him in mockery and scoffing. He's sitting at the table with Jesus Christ. And he has water. And he has comfort. And he has rest. And then he took captivity captive. He took him to the Father. He said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." That's Jesus Christ. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Why? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. His head never lacked ointment. And he anoints his head. He takes captivity captive, presents them to the Father. He says, "My cup runneth over." And then he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And because God has restored his soul, I want you to notice this. "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Peter, where's your dwelling?
Under those wings of the cherubim there.
Under the shadow of his wings. On the mercy seat.
Amen.
Amen.
And he's extended mercy to everyone in this room. Because that's his dwelling place.
Holy.
He died that we might live. He gave his life that we might have life. He bore our sins that we don't have to bear our sins. He took our diseases and our sicknesses that we might be made whole. He went out of his way, took our transgressions and nailed them to the cross. Offered himself a ransom for many. And we, having the same spirit of faith, "I believe, therefore have I spoken." Just a handful of verses for you and I'm done. Zephaniah chapter 2. "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger."
Amen.
And I'll jump right back on, Brother Roloff. He'll hide me in that cleft of the rock.
Amen.
"In the day of his wrath, I'll be hidden. In the day of his wrath, I'll be safe." Why? Because I sought the Lord. Why do you say ye meek of the earth? Because the wicked and the pride of his countenance will not seek God. But the meek can seek God. The old songwriter said it best, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Listen, you may not see anything I talked about tonight. You may not see it. But you had to see something. These words aren't filler. He came to redeem the prisoner. He came to those in bonds and imprisonment to make them free. He took them and presented them to the Father. Why? Because of the saints that were in the earth. He took them and gave them to the Father. Never appointed to wrath. They've entered into rest. There their works have ceased. Their troubling has ceased. They're resting in the goodness of God. Psalms 27. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Look at verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Father and mother forsake us. The Lord will take us up. When everybody else hates us, God will be our stay.
Amen.
God will be our relief.
Glory to
God. God will be our rest.
Praise God.
Psalm 105 and verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done. And then notice this little word, his wonders. What a wonder. Oh, George Shea, Bev, the wonder of it all. That God would take my sin and bear it in his body. That his soul would be me. That he would take that sin and offer it in the very fires of hell. A burnt offering. Cross that great gulf into that large place. Preach to the prisoner. Ascend into heaven and present them to the Father. And give them rest and give them relief. Now, people might say this. They would say, well, why do you preach that? Because it's the same thing he did for me. He drew me out of a horrible pit wherein there's no water. He lifted me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, planted my feet on a solid rock, established my goings, and he put a new song in my heart. When he died, I died with him.
There it is.
When he rose, I rose with him. You know how long I'm going to live? Only as long as God lives.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Samuel.
Oh, yes.
Don't get too excited, folks. You're only going to live as long as God.
Hallelujah.
Everlasting life.
Amen.
And your everlasting life will start today.
Amen.
He'll take that sting of death away. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, thy victory.
Right.
You know what God does for us? He not only gives us life in his Son, It's already been said this week, he'll give us the best life in his son. I'm not miserable. This isn't a hard life. Well, you were right about that. This life's so much easier.
Oh my goodness.
You know, listen, occasionally I'll get a headache. But it's not like I used to. Occasionally I'll be a little sick in my stomach. But not like it used to be. There's a difference between puking and vomiting, by the way. You puke when you're sick, you vomit when you're drunk. I ain't vomited in 27 years. To God be the glory. You ladies, have some of you haven't had that spew in your hair for many, many years. The Lord Jesus Christ, he'll give you a better life. He'll give you a life in Christ. Those old things have passed away. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Don't need dip in the morning. Don't need weed in the morning. Don't need jack in the morning.
Amen.
You just find Jesus Christ. That's why we preach this.
Yes, sir.
Because some of you are still bound in sin. Sin has prevented you. It has you bound up. You can't get out. Can I say, if God can deliver his son, how much more can God deliver you through that blood of the everlasting covenant? God can deliver you from sin. He can take your addictions. Take your perversions.
Yes, he can.
He can restore your marriage. He'll give you a good life. Our brother testified last night. I sent him a text today. And I just remind him, happy is the man whom God correcteth. What does he do? He wounds. And then his hands make whole.
Amen.
He hurts you to help you.
Right.
He'll put you low to lift you up. You still bound in sin? Deuteronomy 4:29. I'm almost sort of thinking about quitting. This isn't a carnal term. This is just something I use. But you say, why are you buying your time? I'm just waiting for this thing to break. That's all. I wait for some of you to break.
Amen.
So I'll just keep reading verses till God breaks you. You say, why would you do that? Some of you are real close. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. You believe that? Sinner, do you believe that? If you'll seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart, with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things that come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God.
Amen.
He wants to extend mercy. He wants to give you mercy.
Amen.
But you got to obey his voice.
That's right.
He will not forsake thee. Neither destroy thee. Are you hearing his call? Are you hearing his voice tonight? Are you listening to him? I'm not concerned if you saw everything I preached. I'm concerned that you listened to that voice.
That's right.
That's why we preach. One young lady was telling me this week, she said, you used to preach stuff and I wouldn't even care about it. I wouldn't even listen to what you were saying. I said, well, you're listening now? She said, oh, yes. I said, what did you see last night? She began to tell us what God had showed her in Scripture.
Amen.
She responded to the call, heard the voice of God. Are you hearing that voice? Psalm 27:4. Well, I turn there again and remind you of this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Who's his righteousness? How do you seek him? You look for him. Where do you find him? In green pastures. In a large place. Springs of water. Where's that? It's on the mercy seat. Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee. It wasn't my lips, it wasn't my intellect. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see. Has your heart ever said that to God? Thy face, Lord, will I seek. You know, I find this interesting. When I do find the face of God, I don't look him eye to eye. I usually look at his shoe latches. Because when I seek him and I find his face, I find that I'm unworthy. And I'll just bow at his feet. Because he is worthy. Do you hear the voice? Do you hear that call? Will you humble yourself? You're going to keep that proud countenance. Worst place in the world to die and go to hell from is from a Bible-believing church. Without Christ, that's where you'll be. Will you seek his face? He's just too proud. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble.
Amen.
Some of these, however we need to do. Say our hymn books. We're going to turn, see where the Lord leads us in all of this. We're going to turn to page number 302.
Time before the Lord. spend some time in prayer, seeking the face of God, humbling yourselves under the mighty hand of God. We're going to sing page number 302 tonight. We're going to stand as we sing. Megan picked this song when I gave you opportunities.